Hi, this is Paul Marks, host and producer of Multifamily Matters. Today we're going to air the best of Multifamily Matters. It's a very educational and informative episode, so listen and enjoy the best of Multifamily Matters.
Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show with two special guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing something that is very important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic today is the impact of human trafficking in multifamily. I have joining me by phone a longtime multifamily industry veteran, Stephanie Anderson, Senior Director of Content Strategy with Grace Hill, and Mariana Lobo Guerrero, Intersect Response Platform Coordinator with iEmpathize. Welcome, ladies.
Hi, thank you.
So, Stephanie, do you want to go ahead for the benefit of our listeners and kind of define the, what is human trafficking?
Absolutely. This is a great question, Paul, because human trafficking means so many things to so many different people. The way that Mariana and I both define human trafficking is the involvement of the use of force, fraud, or coercion to obtain some type of labor or commercial sex act. Traffickers use force, fraud, or coercion to lure their victims and then force them into labor or commercial sexual exploitation. I did want to point out one of the first conversations that Mariana and I had when we started a partnership was, she started to explain to me in storytelling what human trafficking was based on her experience and what she had seen. And I have to say, I was a little taken back for a moment because what we see on TV shows and movies is not quite an accurate depiction of human trafficking. For example, it's not always someone random, but more often than not, it's someone you know and trust, such as a boyfriend or a close friend. And even, some of the age depictions that they show on TV is not accurate as well. And so she left me after our first conversation with just so much additional knowledge and thoughts that you don't necessarily see in TV or on the internet.
Yeah, and Mariana, I want to ask you, exactly, my knowledge of human trafficking is exactly what Stephanie's described, what I see on television and TV shows and in movies. And when I'm thinking about it, it's somewhere else. It's not in my community. Tell me, is that wrong?
Yeah. So that's one of the biggest myths, right, is that there's a group of people being transported somewhere that they're being moved from one place to another. And really what trafficking, that kind of gets confusing, but trafficking is just preying on somebody's vulnerabilities to benefit from it yourself through force, fraud, or coercion. So I'm promising you a job. I'm promising you a modeling gig. I'm promising you some kind of something you want in exchange for something else. But in the end, I'm not getting anything from it. And it's really, if you look at it, it's modern day slavery.
Oh yeah, exactly. And Stephanie, I know this is something at Grace Hill with the content that you work on. You had mentioned to me that this is one of the most sought after type of discussions that you're having with folks in multifamily. Why is that?
A great point. So I'm going to talk a little bit about this later on in our conversation as to why this became prevalent in our industry and why it became top of mind for myself and some other industry professionals. But from a high level, our conversations really started to take place about this in the beginning of 2020, right before COVID hit. And I think that when we rolled this out at NAA, some of our training initiatives, it was at a time where people were bogged down by COVID and pandemic information. And so, one, I think it was just the necessary distraction from what was happening around them in a pandemic world. So it was, you know, very much welcome to have a topic that was not related to COVID. But also, I think it's a topic that it comes to mind for people of an uncomfortable conversation that I relate to something such as active shooting. It's something that is rarely spoken about in our industry, and yet it becomes of interest to people because they want to know more about it. And when you tell them that they have the opportunity to bring change and impactful change just by being aware of their surroundings and you know, seeing something and saying something, it's just amazing how people want to be involved. They want to have the ability to bring that necessary change, but they just don't know how.
Yeah, and Mariana, I wanted to ask you, for the benefit of our listeners, can we frame this with some data so that they can get a feel for what kind of data is out there about human trafficking?
Sure. And the data is sometimes difficult to track. I need to start with that. Most cases of trafficking go unreported, either because the victim is too afraid or they are misconstrued as prostitutes or doing, or that the people involved in the trafficking are so elusive that they can't be tracked down. But, and so the statistics I have are really from 2019. In that we have about 22,000 cases of trafficking victims identified, which means that they've gone through the court system and have determined to be victims of trafficking. And there were about 11,500 situations of human trafficking actually reported, and 4,000, close to 4,400 traffickers that have been prosecuted. Those numbers, in my opinion, are extremely low because of what I just mentioned. Many, many of these cases go unreported. One of the things that we, going back to the multifamily industry, is that in the multifamily, I did a luncheon, and we invited vendors to the multifamily group, and we invited some property managers. And the first question I got at the luncheon was, how much does this really affect us as an industry, as a group? You know, how often does this happen? And I said, more often than you think. The problem is that it's probably happening, but it's not being identified. So you don't know what to look for. And maybe you have some activity going on, and you don't know what to look for. You don't know the red flags, so it goes unreported. And the other myth is that this happens in very poor areas, in very dangerous areas, in areas that I would never be in. And now we know with Jeffrey Epstein that this is happening in some really high dollar zip codes. So it is happening in nice apartments. It's happening in poor areas. It's happening in suburban areas. So if this is really happening anywhere, because trafficking is really, they look for anywhere where there is a market. And right now, the three top states are California would be number one, Texas number two, and Florida number three. And the one thing that they have in common is they have borders. They have open borders, mm-hmm. big airports, easy to travel in and out from, lots of activities like entertainment, sports venues. Those are all the things that will make a state very vulnerable. The other statistic is that we don't know how much COVID has affected. So that whole year where people were at home, there was a lot of people who had nothing to do, normally would go to work, had a lot of time on their hands. What we know is that the human trafficking caseload grew. So it definitely affected those cases.
Stephanie, we've got about a minute and a half left in this segment. Tell me, when you saw those statistics for the first time, what went through your mind?
You know, it was pretty mind-boggling to me to see the statistics, because I just thought it was not something that was spoken about enough to fully understand. And I think when Mariana points out that not only are the statistics, you know, mind-blowing in general, But then you're also thinking about how many of them, like she mentioned, are going unreported. And with something like COVID happening, where more people were forced to be at home and not in their regular schedules, you know, going to work and school every day, it did make you wonder how much of this got even worse that we just aren't aware of yet. For instance, we know that domestic violence cases had risen quite a bit during COVID because people did not have the distraction of leaving their homes each and every day. And so how much of this was worsened by the pandemic that we are not even aware of on top of those staggering numbers?
It reminds me of an episode we did on domestic violence and how it affects multifamily and the signs that that the on-site teams at the properties can look for to try and help a victim of domestic violence. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as well as we progress through the show. We're going to end this segment right here, and we're going to be back after these messages with more of this episode of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing something that's especially important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is the impact of human trafficking in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, Stephanie Anderson, Senior Director of Content Strategy with Grace Hill, and Mariana Loboguero, Intersect Response Platform Coordinator with iEmpathize. Before we jump back into the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. Stephanie, we talked in the first segment about some of the data and the definition of human trafficking. I know that when you were made aware of this and NAA was made aware of this, things kind of started to gel. Tell us a little bit about that story.
Absolutely. So my story and involvement more personally with human trafficking all started with a major hotel lawsuit. So 12 hotel chains were named and accused of both knowing and ignoring warning signs that women and children were sold as sex slaves on their premises. Now, these hotel chains were very well-known brands, including Hilton, Wyndham, and Best Western, just to name a few. This filing marked the first time, specifically for the hotel industry, where they had been accused of serving as a breeding ground for sexual exploitation of women and children, but where they were actually going to face action as a group from this. And, you know, these cases drew together about 13 separate actions that had been filed in states such as Ohio, Massachusetts, Georgia, Texas, and New York. Now, this was December of 2019, so world of pre-COVID, if we can recall back to that point. And I remember sitting in a room with the marketing and communications teams over at NAA. It was right after the story of the hotel lawsuits had been publicized in national news. So our PR team had become aware of what was happening. And I'll mention that the reason this is important is because in multifamily, we tend to find that trends occurring in the hospitality industry find their way into the apartment industry in due time. So we as a team really wanted to discuss a plan to not only prepare for such claims and lawsuits that should occur from a legislative side, but more importantly, discuss ways to proactively prevent these future occurrences. And that's really where my journey with Mariana came about. I met Mariana through an industry colleague that sat on our operations committee for NAA. She had attended a luncheon that Mariana just spoke about earlier on the very topic of human trafficking, and Mariana was the guest speaker with I Empathize. And so I made the connection with Mariana, and after speaking with her, we decided to do the very first webinar that was hosted by NAA that had Mariana as a guest speaker. It also included Mickey Croft from the short-term housing sector, and then Bonnie Smitzer, who was the owner and operator, for her perspective. And this webinar was launched back in April of 2020, which I mentioned earlier. The height of the pandemic was happening all around us. Cities were shutting down left and right. Mask mandates were implemented. And yet everyone wanted this necessary break from pandemic discussions to talk about a topic that was really important to them. And surprisingly, the attendance numbers were sky high because everyone was just not only intrigued by that topic, but they really wanted more information as to what they could do to prevent or move forward with helping our industry in general. And to date, that webinar is the most watched webinar at NAA. If you did miss it, you can go to NAA's website, NAA HQ, and just type it in, even in Google search bar on the website, just human trafficking webinar, and it'll pop right up and you can watch it. I want to mention that, you know, I speak at a local and national level regarding industry trends, and the impact of human trafficking and rental housing is often a fan favorite that sparks the most conversation and the most questions over any other topic happening in our industry. That shows me that there is a clear distinction that apartment owners and operators want to help with this issue, and they just don't know where to start. And so when we think about I Empathize and NAA and Grace Hill coming together to assess them in this knowledge and problem solving for human trafficking, it is just something that is so needed in our industry. And I'm just so thankful for Mariana's partnership to bring more awareness to this important issue.
Yeah, Mariana, during the break, Stephanie mentioned that in her opinion, you're doing God's work. So tell us a little bit about how you came into this position and what it means to you.
Well, years ago, I was working in Guatemala. It had nothing to do with human trafficking. I was working with another nonprofit and was sitting in an office where they were going to do they were going to go to a human trafficking cafe and do a bust. And they asked me if I wanted to tag along. And I didn't really know what I was agreeing to. And when we got to the location where the bust was going to happen with the police and some other people from different NGOs, there were 11 young girls that I would estimate were anywhere from the ages of maybe 11 to 14. And it was a what they called a brothel, but it was a jail for young girls. And it was a destination for international travelers to come and be able to have sex with a young girl. And that just broke my heart and just made me so mad, angry, scared. I came back and I just couldn't get this out of my head and started looking at how I can make an impact. Where can I plug in? Who's doing what in human trafficking? And the one organization that I kept coming back to was I Empathize, because they were actually preventing human trafficking. There are so many people that are wonderful organizations that are doing all kinds of services for victims and awareness. And this was the first solution that I ever saw. You know, the first way to say, how do we completely eradicate it by training people in not only the red flags, but training youth on how to spot it. The most vulnerable population to fall into human trafficking are foster kids and runaways. A runaway will be approached within 48 hours in most cases by a trafficker, because those traffickers know where to look. They know these kids have nothing else and they're vulnerable. They know that nobody's looking for them very quickly, and they know they can get away with it. So I started working with I Empathize, and the thing I love about it is that they go out. We've done interviews of foster kids, of adults who have been in trafficking and are now survivors, trying to get their lives back together, trying to make a difference, starting their own nonprofits to help other survivors. And so we are able to really go beyond, you know, everybody says awareness, awareness, awareness. We're able to go beyond awareness to really show people exactly how you can make a difference, no matter what industry you're in. One of the biggest partnerships we have, we developed all of the training materials for Truckers Against Trafficking. And that program has now trained over 1 million truck drivers across the country on how to spot human trafficking. And we know that they see a lot. We know that truck stops are a hotbed for activity. We know that they're out on the roads and they can be the eyes and ears, and they can help to really make an impact on this issue. So that's really where my heart is in prevention. And I think we can make we're already making a really big difference in the multifamily housing arena with our training.
Yeah, and I want to just jump back to what you said about your program with the truckers. What type of success have you seen as far as, I know that you had success in getting them trained. Has there been any quantitative results as far as how many things they're able to uncover and get reported?
Yeah, so I'm not sure what the actual statistics are, but they're, and I apologize for not having those, but
no,
they're
fine.
Mind-numbing. You know, the number of cases that have been called in. There have been rescues of girls. In one case, a young girl that was in a camper that had been parked in a truck stop parking lot, and one truck driver just happened to notice that it had been there for a few days and that nobody was coming in and out except for men, different men coming in and out at different intervals, and they were able to rescue a very young girl from a very terrible situation. So we know it works. And I think people are more comfortable to make that call if they know what they're calling about, if they know what red flags are supposed to be looking for. Because usually the reason why people don't respond is they say, I don't know what to do. I don't know if I'm going to get somebody in trouble. I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want my name out there. And they just don't, they want to help, but they don't know how. They haven't been prepared. They haven't been equipped with the tools that they need.
All right.
So that's what we'd like to help with.
Well, we are going to, in our next segment, talk a little bit about how to identify some of the indicators that they need to know about in the multifamily industry. So we're going to take a break right here, but we're going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we're back and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing something that is very important and very timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic today is the impact of human trafficking in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, Stephanie Anderson, Senior Director of Content Strategy with Grace Hill, as well as Mariana Loboguero, who is the Intersect Response Platform Coordinator with I Empathize. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. E-Conserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire Rev today. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. Stephanie, you know, I know that you've developed, along with Mariana and Grace Hill, a course that you said has been very popular and people have access to it. And we certainly don't have time in the remaining two segments to go through everything in that course. But what are some of the simple things that people could notice, and what are you recommending that they do if they notice something?
Great question. So there's an opportunity here for employers, supplier partners, visitors of your community, just pretty much anyone that is coming and going from an apartment community has an opportunity to be mindful of what's happening around them and have the ability to notice when things just don't seem right. Maintenance team members are inside apartment homes day in and day out, and they have that ability to be the ears and eyes of the property beyond what the office team may be able to see just on a daily basis. And, you know, employees that live on site and, you know, they can see things that are happening, movement per se, from the same apartment during nighttime hours, as an example, after hours, and they have the ability to see those. Supplier partners like contractors or service companies, you know, Mariana mentioned it earlier, think about valet trash service, package delivery, postal service, you know, those contractors that come in to turn vacant apartments, painters, flooring companies, and so forth. They have the opportunity to see things that others may not see. And so what type of things are we talking about? Just kind of a high-level overview. You know, if you see the same movement from the apartment the same time each day, maybe that's a group of people leaving or coming back at the same time. That's a great indicator that something could be different. If the residents appear fearful or maybe show signs of abuse or malnourishment, if an apartment is over occupancy, and we're talking, you know, multiple beds in one room, multiple people per bedroom, so over whatever the state occupancy regulations are. If you see a resident is installing interior locks on apartment doors, so when maintenance comes to enter and their keys don't work because they're unable to access the apartment due to additional locks installed, avoids eye contact, or, you know, maybe the resident doesn't have access to their own documents, such as a state-issued ID card. Now, that's not to say that any of these things could not be different situations. So we don't want you to think, okay, we're seeing the same movement every single day from this apartment. Well, that could just be someone's work schedule, you know. So don't think too hard of, okay, this has to mean human trafficking. But when you start to see multiple signs of issues, you want to start to think, could there be something underlying happening here? And a lot of times you have to trust your gut on these things. Does it feel uncomfortable? Does something just not fit right? And that's when you want to start thinking about what actions you should take if you suspect a human trafficking situation is occurring.
And I would add to that, you know, that if it's not a human trafficking situation, that's the best case scenario. Don't be afraid to, you don't have to be 100% sure, because it's hard to be 100% sure, but calling in a human trafficking case and just saying, this is what I saw. These are some red flags. I'm not sure if it's anything, but it's better to call than to, it's better to act than to not act. There's nothing's going to happen if it's not a human trafficking case. So, you know, that's important.
Stephanie, I'm curious, because you mentioned supplier partners, and obviously I think that's a wonderful, I mean, that's a whole nother set of eyes and ears on a property, who often see things that, because they're not there, as frequently as the on-site people who sometimes wear blinders because they're on the property every day. Is there any multifamily operators yet that you're aware of that are either requiring their supplier partners to get some training about this or encouraging them to do so?
Great question. So we have had several supplier partners reach out and ask questions based on the training and conversations that we've had with NAA and Grace Hill. And I know Mariana can speak to this as well, because I believe she was talking at one point to a valet trash company. I don't know that any of them have implemented specific training yet. But I think where we have a great opportunity here is, you know, Mariana and I and our respectable companies have been talking about additional partnerships to move this forward. And when you're creating anything from scratch, and with Mariana being a nonprofit association, it's important to know that we do have to have financial backing to, you know, really start these programs, to see the tremendous success, like the Truckers Against Trafficking program, for an example. And so we would love to be able to talk to supplier partners who are interested in investing in this kind of training for the industry and for their team members, because that's where, you know, we can make a greater impact, is letting everyone know that they have a part in this, and not just the awareness, like we mentioned before, but Mariana really honed in on the prevention and how important that is. And the best way we can do that is with creating programs that are going to help to educate everyone in the apartment industry on their role and what they can do to help.
That's a great point. And we've got about 4 minutes left in this segment, but I want to ask the question. I'll ask you, Stephanie, because, you know, we've talked about on-site teams being trained and also the supplier partners being trained. What about the residents? What is there an effort out there to make residents aware of what to look at and to report something if they see it?
I like where you're going, Paul. I don't think that it has been something that has been addressed yet. I know for myself, you know, we've really focused on the training with owners and operators, specifically on-site teams, property managers, all the way down to groundskeeper, because that is just where we're starting to see some of the impact. But absolutely, I mean, the thought of educating our residents, because, again, they're seeing things that we're not going to see as a staff on-site day in and day out. And, you know, oftentimes you'll find that there are residents that want to report every little thing, which, you know, there's good and bad to that. But yeah, I think that you're onto something here, Paul, in terms of how do we educate residents without putting fear in them. We don't want them to be looking over their shoulder every 5 seconds, you know, and worrying who's doing what, when, where, and how, but more so to keep their eyes open and how they can report things. Mariana can speak to this, but, you know, the action you should always take when you suspect a human trafficking situation is that human trafficking hotline. You can call, you can text, you can live chat. It's 24/7. It's confidential. It's over 200 languages that's available. And it's just anonymous. So you have the opportunity, if you feel something is not right, to report it, like she said, and you would much rather report it than not, because there's no harm in doing that.
And tell us a little bit about the hotline. Is it a nationwide type of toll-free number, and then they direct law enforcement, whoever? Go ahead.
Yeah, so it's the clearinghouse for any calls coming in that deal with human trafficking, and we now have an 800 number for Canada as well. But basically, it is a place where you can call, and they're able to get the information to law enforcement, to different for example, if you were to call the non-emergency, we never ever ask anyone to approach any type of situation and put themselves in harm's way. So if there is something that you see that there is an imminent danger to someone else or yourself, 911, always the first option. The second option would be the hotline. And there are human trafficking task forces in many big cities. But we know that some police departments, some law enforcement agencies just don't have the funding to have their own human trafficking agency within their agency. So what the human trafficking hotline can do is they can take all of the pertinent information. They are experts at asking the questions, the important questions that they need to know, getting all the pertinent information. Again, as Stephanie said, you don't have to leave your name, or you can if you like to follow up. But they're able to take that information and disseminate it to all of the pertinent law enforcement agencies that might come in contact with that particular case. We know that people move quickly. So sometimes if you call a police department in this county, by the time an officer is sent out, they might be three counties away, and they're not able to track that case. So so really the hotline is your first line of defense. The other thing that that we hope that people will be able to use, we're talking about training just your residents. And we do have programs that are just Human Trafficking 101. Mm-hmm. You're not maybe affiliated with an industry, but I just want to train my kids, my family, myself. We do have trainings that are specifically for that. We have the Intersect Response Platform, which we are developing very key training for every industry sector. So right now we're working with casinos and resorts. We're working with law enforcement, developing something specific to them. We're working with first responders. How would a paramedic or a firefighter address the issue? We're working with businesses that have just front desk, a front desk person, hospitality, restaurants. We're doing a labor trafficking course. So we'd love to provide any kind of training. And if you do have something for your tenants or your residents, we would love to help provide training to them as well.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, we're going to break it here. We are going to be back right after these messages with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
The Multifamily Leasing Company is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book Rev's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let Rev drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let Rev be your long-term leasing solution. Go to RevLMC.com to find out more. That's RevLMC.com. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire Rev today.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing something that is especially important and timely to the multifamily industry, and that is the impact of human trafficking in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, Stephanie Anderson, Senior Director of Content Strategy with Grace Hill, and Mariana Loboguero, who is the Intersect Response Platform Coordinator with iEmpathize. Stephanie, I wanted to ask you, because I know when you were talking about the lawsuits in the hotel industry, have any of the states gotten involved after that with making requirements for training?
Yes. In fact, you know, we started to see that more states were starting to mandate in the hospitality industry, which is where this all stemmed from. But now Florida, the state of Florida, was actually the first state to mandate human trafficking training specifically for our industry, the apartment industry. And so basically what that says is that the state will require hotel operators, owners, as well as the apartment industry to provide training for new employees within 60 days after they begin employment in a housekeeping or reception area role. And that started January 1st of 2021 this year. And then the training must be re-administered annually. So when the mandate came out, and we already knew that this was starting to be top of mind for individuals prior to that, Grace Hill partnered with Mariana and her team over at iEmpathize to be able to provide training for human trafficking that would meet the requirements. Because if you did not have a platform like Grace Hill's LMS system to be able to take this course, you would have to find another way to do it, whether that's an instructor or whether that is, you know, maybe something through an apartment association. But the course had to be approved by the state of Florida. And so the team at Grace Hill worked diligently along with Mariana and all of her knowledge to make sure that we hit every single item on the list that was required for the state. And they actually did a fairly quick turnaround time on the approval because we weren't sure how that would go. And I'm really, really excited to share that, you know, our course in Grace Hill, that it was produced in 6 months. So in 6 months that the course has been live and available to customers of Grace Hill, we have had over 23,000 successful completions of the course in our vision platform. So this is reiterating to us that this topic is needed and wanted. And I should also say that Grace Hill created two separate courses. So one of them checks all of the boxes that was approved by the state of Florida. If you have assets, manage or own them in states outside of Florida, we have another course that checks all of the boxes, but without being Florida specific. So you have the ability to take the human trafficking training in vision for Grace Hill, whether it's mandated or not. And it's just great, great information that I believe everyone should be exposed to.
And let me ask you this, Stephanie. I mean, you've seen this in different situations, not just human trafficking. When one state mandates something, it's only a matter of time, isn't it, before other states follow suit?
It's very true. You will have some conservative states that will wait. They don't, you know, I always say I'm in Virginia, so I'll use it as an example. Virginia is never the first to do anything. We're probably towards the latter one third that does things, but it always comes around. And so, yes, absolutely great question. We will continue to see more states having these conversations and begin to mandate it. And it's not just for the liability and the protection of owners and operators and hotels, but it also goes back to we want to be preventative. And if you're requiring this training out there, it's going to encourageably force people to expand their knowledge on it, because I guarantee when you take these courses, you're going to have a better understanding of the impact each individual can have regardless of your position.
Okay. Quick question. How many people work in the multifamily industry, Stephanie? I'm just round number. I mean, I know you're... Is it?
Oh, gosh. That's quite a question. I don't think that I can even throw a number out there without it being probably tremendously off.
Well, probably over 50,000, I would imagine. Well over
that.
Yes,
no doubt, for sure.
So you got a good start with 23,000 people. We got a long way to go. So we need
we do. And, you know, that's just 6 months.
Yes.
So I think the more prevalent, the more conversations we have, the more awareness that we're bringing to this topic and the opportunities that we have with iEmpathize to do partnerships with other companies, management, ownership companies, as well as supplier partner companies to make meaningful change and develop these programs that can just change the way that we think about our business and change the way that we look at situations.
I think one of my favorite quotes from we do surveys at the end of the course, and I think one of my favorite quotes was somebody wrote in, "I can really, this course has prepared me so that I can make a difference, and I can be a hero." And I think that's right on the money. I mean, you can save a life just by taking this course, which is huge, I think.
Yeah, and I really believe that the multifamily industry has an obligation to try and help in any way they can to stop anything like this from happening, whether it's domestic abuse or human trafficking or whatever it might be. It's they're involved in that it can take place on property, so it just makes sense to be proactive and take the course and so forth. So, Stephanie, if somebody wanted to find out more about the courses at Grace Hill for this, how do they do that?
Probably the easiest way is to go right onto our website, gracehill.com, and they can contact us through the contact box on that website. But, of course, I'm always open to having these conversations and happy to point people in the right direction for the best resource for them. We have a great team at Grace Hill that is divided amongst regions. So depending on where your portfolio is, I can point you exactly to the person within our team that could assist you. And then a lot of times I just get asked questions as to, you know, why it matters, where do I start? How do I become a sponsor of something like this? Have them reach out to me, and I would love to, you know, really start having some meaningful conversations about how we move this initiative forward in our industry.
That's great. Marianna, I want to ask you, I mean, you've been involved in several different initiatives. You mentioned with the truckers and so forth. How have you, what's your feeling on how it's going in, as far as a start in multifamily?
So I am just, first of all, I applaud everyone at NAA, and I applaud Grace Hill for really reaching out to us to really make sure that the training was from the perspective of our organization, which our expertise is in human trafficking and education. Grace Hill's expertise is in training. So the two of us together, realizing the importance of bringing our two organizations together to really make positive change, which, so again, I applaud all of the people that came forward and said, how can we help? And that's always just the key, is having that group of people who really want to make a difference. So thank you. And, you know, training 25,000 people in that short a period of time is a record for us, for sure. So we're as thrilled as can be. We're hoping that all of our other trainings kind of have that same, that same positive spark to really start something big. And I look into the future, and I think of all the incredible change we can make and how sponsors can get involved and really tie themselves to really helping to eradicate a scourge. And being able to use their expertise in their own fields to help us eliminate human trafficking and exploitation.
And we've got about 2 minutes left in the episode. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, Marianna, you've told us how you got involved with I Empathize, but tell us a little bit about I Empathize and also how someone could reach you if they wanted to.
Sure. So I Empathize was started by founder Brad Riley, and he is a filmmaker, musician, kind of very, he's very creative, he's a storyteller, and he decided to start doing trainings that really kind of engage people, whether it's visually and tell stories, not just give facts, not just shoot statistics at people, but really show a victim's story and engage people through empathy, which is our name, I Empathize, and how to have people say, wow, you know, I can really feel what this person felt, or I could really empathize with this person, and be able to do trainings from that perspective. So what we have done over the years is different kind of trainings for different industry groups. We have done a documentary called Be Relentless, based on the story of Norma Bastidas, who is a runner, an athlete, and she's a survivor of human trafficking, telling the story through her perspective. We have an exhibit that runs that we ship and manage in any convention space, university, school, and it's a walkthrough exhibit where you can actually see human trafficking in different geographical areas and kind of experience the story through looking at Southeast Asia, Mexico, and what it looks like. And then we do our trainings, and we have a platform called the Intersect Response Platform. Again, we are developing trainings on a regular basis for different industries. So if you know of somebody who's a first responder, you're married to a police officer, and their industry, you can give us a call and say, hey, we'd be interested in your training, or even developing a training within an industry that's not listed on our courses. But yes, just getting involved any way you can. Our website is iempathize.org, and it's iempathize.org. And you can just go around our site and just kind of see what we do. You can hit contact us to contact us. It'll send me an email. We'd love to partner with you in any way, shape, or form.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Marianne, and thank you, Stephanie. It's been a great episode. I will put both of your websites on our episode page of the multifamilyradio.com website. So if someone wants to reach you that way, they can click on that. But we will be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.